This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Levi and Hammett Pearson hadn't planned on changing the nation. The two South Carolina farmers wanted something much simpler. They and more than a dozen other families in Clarendon County needed gas for a rundown bus to get their children to school. When school officials refused, the journey toward Brown versus Board of Education had begun. The Supreme Court handed down that decision 50 years ago today. Day to Day producer Christopher Johnson reports.
If you want to see what real country looks like, go visit Davis Station, South Carolina. The only downtown there is an intersection of two-lane roads, a beat-up service station, and an anonymous convenience store. Then, Rambler Homes, and beyond that, in all directions, are the fields. Acres and acres of sunny cornfields, and pecan-sized bumblebees dragging through a useless 90-degree breeze. Maybe it doesn't sound like much, but Ferdinand Pearson grew up in Davis Station. In the 1940s, his father Levi worked his own fields here.
He was a farmer, of course, most of his life, and that's the way he, supported his family, what he grew out on the farm.
Levi, his brother Hammett, and their children all pitched in, planting tobacco, picking cotton, and tending to the animals. But Levi and Hammett, both only semi-literate, were determined their children would learn to do more than just hard farm labor.
He wanted the children to be educated. He figured that was a basic right for every children to be the best that they can be.
The Pearsons sent their children to school, on foot, for up to 9 miles. They walked with dozens of other children from the area to schools that could have doubled as old barns. The toilets were outside, and in the winter, the schools were freezing. Remember, South Carolina in the 1930s and 40s was highly segregated. Because they were black, children like the Pearsons walked miles to underfunded schools ill-equipped for teaching. They had dated, rotten books, cracked blackboards, and broken furniture. Things were better for the white children. They went to modern brick schoolhouses, and they got to ride to school on good buses. The black parents knew they couldn't fix everything, but at least they could help their children get to school. Eventually, Ferdinand says, his father Levi and other parents bought one of the old buses the white students weren't using anymore.
Sometimes it wasn't dependable. Sometimes after get the children halfway to school on the road, it quit.
Few of the blacks wanted to ask the Board of School Trustees for any help, but the bus situation wasn't improving, and they were running out of resources.
They had to pay the driver out of the pocket, and money was hard to come by then. They kind of refused to help in any way.
So they got Reverend Joseph Armstrong Delane, or J.A. Delane. He preached at churches around Davis Station and Somerton. Delane also founded Clarendon County's branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. Delane knew that the NAACP was eager to launch a legal attack on the state school system, and he needed to find someone willing to go up against the county. Delane approached the Pearson brothers.
Reverend Delane was a great help to them, saying if you, I could find, someone that would sue. We'll sue for, for bus transportation. And so my dad was the one willing to do it.
Ferdinand admits his father knew he was risking a lot. But Levi was a deeply Christian man, and his faith made him willing.
He believed in that it was God's plan that this came about. And it was God's time and God's people that he assigned as a task. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. And he knew it was going to be, in some respect, physically dangerous. But he had the faith.
To pursue this case, Levi Pearson would need a lot of faith and courage and patience. In the summer of 1947, he met with a lawyer who drafted a petition in Pearson's name. Pearson was no longer asking just for gas, a driver, or maintenance for a rickety old bus. Now, he was demanding that black children get the same quality transportation the white children were enjoying. Pearson's lawyer submitted that petition to county and state education officials. Then, Levi Pearson waited, and he waited, for 9 months. He got no reply. Then, in March of 1948, Levi Pearson's lawyer filed a suit in federal court. Word that Pearson was suing spread quickly, and reprisals against him from the whites around Davis Station came just as fast.
He lost his credit to buy the seed, the fertilizer. He had good credit before this, and of course he was well thought of in the community. But after the cases, then it was just altogether different.
Whites weren't just threatening Pearson's livelihood. When it became known that a black farmer was taking an all-white county leadership to court, the Pearsons' lives were in danger. Grace Pearson Waters is the granddaughter of Levi and Viola Pearson. She remembers stories that her grandmother told her about how Levi, she calls him Papa, defended his family.
He was warned one day that someone had threatened to come that night to kill him. So to protect the family, Papa had rigged his own security system. He moved the bedrooms from the front to the back of the house. And then he attached cans around the entire perimeter of the house on the outside and had them connected by a string. And whenever he would hear a noise, he would pull the string and the lights would come on.
One night, someone did shoot at the house, but the Pearsons survived this and other attacks. They weren't so fortunate with their case. Pearson versus County Board of Education was heard in June of 1948. And despite all the legal planning, Ferdinand says the decision came down basically to a dirt road.
All of this on your right, as far as you can look, is the Pearson plantation. And of course,
today, that road is called L&H Pearson in honor of Levi and Hammett. But in 1948, this same road cost Levi his case.
This is the road that divided District 26 and District 5. And of course, this is my father's property.
Levi's house was in District 5. That's where he paid taxes. But his children attended schools in Districts 22 and 26. Therefore, the court said, Levi had no right to any relief. The judge dismissed his case. But the reprisals didn't stop. There were still death threats. Levi's granddaughter Grace says even some of Levi's friends turned their backs on him. Still, Levi never abandoned his hometown.
Papa never was bitter, and he never left the state. In fact, when he died in 1970, he was still living generally in on the family's homestead.
And Levi and Hammett were both there in the following years, helping the NAACP lawyers build a new case that would make it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. For Day to Day, I'm Christopher Johnson.
Tomorrow, how another case from the same South Carolina community became part of Brown versus Board of Education, and pictures from this story are on our website, npr.org.